Sat Sisimad Zvangris, Silabhakti Siddhanta Thakur Goswami Prabhupada Maharaj ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavindu ki jai. Namacharya Sri Haridas Thakur ki jai. Prem Si Kahao Si Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Si Advaita Gadara Si Vasari Si Gaura Bhaktavindu ki jai. Sisi Radha Krishna Gopal Gopinath Syama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Keja Srivrindavan Dham Keja Simayapur Dham Keja Sri Jagannapura Dham Keja Gangamaya Yamunamaya Keja Simati Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi Keja Sama Veda Bhakta Vindi Keja Nithai Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the Sama devotees. All glories to the Sama devotees. All glories to the Sama devotees. All glories to Sister Gauranga Ranga. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Cheva Narutama Devim Sarasvati Vyatsa Tato Jaya Mudhiraye Nasta Praesa Bhadresu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Sloke Bhakti Bhavaiti Naistiki Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 9, Chapter 14, Text 45 to 46. What text is there? 44 and 45. So the title of the chapter is King Purava Enchanted by Oversea. It's a love affair chapter. So it's very relevant to everyday reality. You see, the beauty of the Vedic literature is that it deals with all types of stuffs. It doesn't only deal with the abstract, but it deals also with social issues. So this is a typical social issue oriented chapter. And we are all a burden of proof to this social issue called sex. Because we are all products of sex. So we cannot condemn sex. Let me just put us as a forefront. Alright, so we'll go to the text. Stalistanam gato swatam. Is that what's on the board? Oh, okay. This is why inquiries is very important. I could just say, okay, 44 to 45, and then on the pages of the book here, you start with something else. All right, so text 45. Ovasi mantrato dhyayam.
Ovasi mantrato dhyayam.
Adhararanim utaram.
Adhararanim utaram.
Atmanam ubhayo madhye.
Atmanam
yatha prajananam prabhu. O vasi mantrato dhyayam. Adhararanim utaram. Atmanam ubhayo madhye. Yathat prajananam prabhu. O vasi mantrato dhyayam. Adhararanam adhararani mutaram atmanam ubhayo madhye yathat prajananam prabhu. Someone try. Ladies and Matajis, I'll take the word-for-word translation for 44 and 45. So, please, kindly respond, but repeat. Stalistanam. The place where Agni Stali was left. Gattaha. Going there. Aswatam. An Aswata tree. Samigabham. Produced from the womb of the Sami tree. Vilakshya. Seen. Saha. He. Purava. He, Purava. Tena. From that. Dwe. Two. Arani. Pieces of wood required for igniting a fire for sacrifice.
Pieces of wood required for igniting a fire for sacrifice.
Dwe.
Kritva.
And Kritva. Making. Wasi loka kamyaya. Desiring to go to the planet where Owasi was present. Oasim, Ovasi. Mantrataha, by chanting the required mantra. Dhyayan, meditating upon. Adara, lower. Arani.
Arani.
Arani wood.
Arani wood.
Uttaram.
Uttaram.
And the upper one. Atmanam. Himself. Ubayo madhye.
In between the two.
Yat tat.
That which
he meditating upon.
Prajananam.
As his son.
Prabhu.
The king. So translation. And purport by his divine grace is confirmed Acharya. Srila Abhacharya Navinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Maharaj ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. I think to glorify Prabhupada should be a simple thing. Why not? Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you. So, translation. When the process of fruitive jagya became manifest within his heart, King Purava went to the same place where he had left Agnastali. There he saw that from the womb of a Sami tree, an Aswata tree had grown. He then took a piece of wood from that tree and made it into two Aranis, desiring to go to the planet where always he resided. He chanted mantras, meditating upon the lower Rani as overseer, the upper one as himself, and the piece of wood between them as his son. In this way, he began to ignite a fire. Please kindly respond, but repeat. When the process of fruitive jagya
became manifest
within his heart, King
Purava
went to the same spot
where he had left Agnastali.
There he saw that
from the womb of a
Sami
tree,
an Aswata tree had grown.
He took a piece of wood
from that tree
and made into two Aranis.
Desiring to go to the planet
where
Owasi resided,
he chanted mantras,
meditating upon the lower Arani as Owasi,
the upper one as himself,
and the piece of wood between them
as his son.
In this way,
he began to ignite
a fire. Purport. The Vedic fire for performing jagya was not ignited with ordinary matches or similar devices. Rather, the Vedic sacrificial fire was ignited by the Aranis or two sacred pieces of wood, which produced fire by friction with a thought, such a fire is necessary for the performance of jagya. If successful, the jagya will fulfill the desire of its performer. Thus, Purava took advantage of the process of jagya to fulfill his lusty desires. He thought of the lower Arani as overseer, the upper one as himself, and the middle one as his son. The relevant Vedic mantra quoted herein by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is Sami Garbhat Agni Mantra. A similar mantra is Ovasyam Orasi Puravat. Purava wanted to have children continuously by the womb of Owasi. His only ambition was to have sex life with Owasi and thereby get a son. In other words, he had so much lust in his heart. He had so much lust in his heart that even while performing jagya, he thought of Owasi instead of thinking of the matter of Jagya, Jagyeshwar, Lord Vishnu, or Bhagyana, Kimaranasya, Gyana Jana Salakaya, Saksur Militam, Jena Tismai, Si Gurupe Namaha, Chichetayam Anobistam, Stafitam Jena Bhuta, Swayam Rupa, Kadamaya, Dadati Swa, Pedantika, Vancha Kalpatari Bhacha, Kripa Sundabhya, Evacha, Patitanam, Pavan, Vashnam. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Bhisaya Bhutale Semaita Bhaktivedanta Swami Itinam Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Vicharani Nivisesa Swamyavadi Pasatya Dusatari Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Sri Vasadi Sri Gaura Bhakta Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So you're welcome to this morning Bhagavatam class. And as we heard from the text, it's a text that is based on social relationship. We are social animals, conditioned souls are social animals. And so we also act socially. Therefore we find that when a child is born, the parents groom the child up to marriageable age, and then they get the child married out, which is a good thing. It's cultures like in India, this is very important. But in the Western countries, cultures mostly out of India, sometimes the child grows up to take care of themselves. They have to look for husband or wife by themselves. And I know the case of India, and even in Nepal, I have some brahmacharis who were living in our temple in New Jersey. And when they were to get married, they told me all the whole process. And it's very detailed, and it's so sweet because the parents are involved, because the parents have to guide the kids. These are boys, and the parents have to guide the kids on what steps to take, and they have to lead the way and all the rest of them. In that way, the kids don't make unnecessary decisions that could be dismal to their social future. Unfortunately, this very culture that pretends of a viability or a sustainable future is being neglected, and therefore we find so many divorces in modern society. Now, if you compare the divorce rate in a place like India and Nepal to a place like America, you see that it's the divorce rate here is considered still very minimal. So nobody wants to have a family or grow up in a family where he comes to realize that his mother and his father are not living together, because then he's deprived of the joint ethical, moral, spiritual care, social care for the child. So basically here we find the situation of Purava. And in this very text, it's mentioned how his object of meditation was on Uvasi. And this is generally what happens with love affairs. Love, in quote. I will make one request. Now, the Bhagavatam hall here is more or less like a deity room. So you don't go with it. We don't go with your phones into the deity room. So if you have your phone, I have my phone, I put it on plain mode. I have an iPhone, I put it on plain mode, because I get calls all the while. So if you have a phone, could you please kindly put it on plain mode so that we don't create some distractions? So here basically, the Bhagavatam or the Vedic culture does not deny the fact that there are social problems that are associated with sex desire. Unfortunately, in modern culture, these days, people don't even talk about sex, or they don't talk about sex education with their children. I remember in New York, one of my friends, he came to pick me up from the airport. So I was asking about the family members. So I asked him about the daughter, and then he said, "Oh, I threw her out." I said, "What happened?" He said, "He went to have fun with somebody, she became pregnant." I said, "Oh, but you are the cause of this problem." He said, "How am I the cause of the problem?" I said, "Let me explain to you, how you are the cause of the problem." I said, when this girl was growing up, pre-puberty, Did you ever sit her down to discuss with her about the challenges she is going to face in a pubertal stage when she attains puberty? Because when the child attains puberty, hormones are poured into the bloodstream. And this makes the child completely like a different personality. I said, did you ever sit down with this your daughter to educate her about what challenges she is going to face when she attains puberty? He said, no. I said, why? He said his parents never told him and never educated him anything like that. Okay, two wrongs can make a right. Good for you. So this is the situation that we find ourselves. Now we find here in the case of Purahava, we say, well, he is pursuing after sex. But women also pursue after sex. I could give you a vivid example. I have one of my mentees, she's a lawyer in New York, a white lady. She told me she's investigating a particular issue, and this man is married. He went into an affair with another woman. They had a child before even the wife got to know. Now, this man is in court for an immigration-related affair. She was investigating this matter, and she was asking this lady, you know, this man is married. Why did you pursue him for sex? And now you have a child with him. And now the whole family there's a dissension in the family. She said, let me tell you the truth. I don't really know what had happened. That man, look at him properly, he's not really a handsome man. But something within me just was triggering me. I was zapped by this man. I was so much sexually attracted to this man. And therefore, I made all efforts to see that I pinned him down and I had sex with him. They were working in the same office. So she was very open and sincere. Again, we find in modern society, if you Google on the web, you find so many female teachers who have lost their jobs, who have been incarcerated due to statutory rape. Statutory rape means you are supposed to be in charge of this student. You are the teacher and you have an affair with him, whether you are a man or a woman. In the then days, it was a case of men involved in statutory rape on female children, female kids, female students. These days, a number of female teachers have gone to jail. I know a case in Seattle area where this lady was a super beauty, tall. The neck was like... But you know what? There was a 12-year-old kid, a boy in our class. And she was 34 years at that time. And that was the person she had an affair with. In fact, she got apprehended. She went to jail. She gave birth to a child for this boy. At that time, the boy was 13 years. So if we are seeing the case of Purahava, and we just think that all these men, they're just so lost here after women. The loss is in all of us. Whether you're a female, you have a female body or you have a male body, loss has no respect for gender. It's endemic. In fact, Lord Krishna mentions in the Gita that this is the greatest enemy of our existence. Because Arjuna raised this issue. Why is it that someone is forced to do things even against their better judgment? And Krishna responded, Kama esha krodha esha rajaguna tamubhava mahasano mahapapmam vidyanam ihavarinam. So Krishna didn't say, oh, the loss is only in the men. In fact, because women have 8 or 9 times more potential or kinetic energy than men, they are very much prone into this type of situation with the little opportunity. And therefore, if the women are not properly engaged, their energy, that potential and kinetic energy could be misdirected and it could cause them some destruction or the destruction of others. In fact, women have They are the best associates of Lord Krishna. Look at even in the devotional arena. The best of all devotees is Srimati Radharani. He's not a man. So we may say, oh, Uwasi, oh, he put this man into trouble. Did Uwasi put a gun on Prurava's head and say, come have sex with me? No. When a problem happens like this, the man has to take the blame. Not the woman. The woman may even tell you, if you're on the altar, you say, hey, I love you so much, let's do it. You have to prove yourself. So, the bottom line is that sacrifices have to be performed. But who is the enjoyer of sacrifices? Lord Krishna mentions in the Gita, Bhuktaram, Jagatapasham. He is the enjoyer of all sacrifice. So if that point is even missed out by a Purava, and his object of meditation becomes Owasi, or became Owasi, we could see the derailment that his attraction for what he has caused in his internalized consciousness. So this is in research, we have what? Two problems. We have one, if you're dealing with you're researching on a particular topic, you have to address two problems. One is a general problem. What is the problem you're trying to solve? You're just trying to recall history, or you want to try to solve the problem? So there's a general problem and a specific problem. The general problem is lust is all-pervasive. And lust does not necessarily mean that you push in after the opposite sex. No. You can be lusty after power. You can be lusty after fame. You can be lusty after distinction, adoration. Oh, yeah. So sometimes we think, oh, she's very lusty, or he's very lusty. But it's a disease. I was in Vrindavan one time, and then I went to one of the theaters there, one ashram, and then one of these Brajabasi, he came just pushing me like anything, harassing me, chasing me all over the place. I had to come to his house, come to my house. I said, for what? He said, come to my house, I'm inviting you. So I went with some devotees from Delhi, and then we went to his place. So he was trying to arrange for some prasadam. So I said, look, I'm on diet. I don't eat salt. My chapati is a mixture of chickpea and flour, a wheat, 50% each. I said, I don't eat fried foods. So many things I told him. And he said, why? I said, I have health problems. And this is what the Ayurvedic doctor near Vrindavan has prescribed for me. He said, oh, I'm also very sick, you know. I said, what's your sickness? He said, you cannot help with this sickness. This is a Vrajabasi. He was talking to me like that. I said, what is the problem? He said, this disease, no doctor can cure it. You have disease, a doctor can cure it. They've given you a prescription. I said, his disease, no doctor can cure it. So I became curious. I said, what is that disease? Let's know. But you know what he told me about the disease? He said his disease is lust. So he was just a laughter provoking a person that I said, well, that's a general disease. It's not just exclusive disease that you are having, it's a general disease. So the bottom line is lust is a general problem, you know. A general problem. And sometimes we just think that, you know, by getting to a particular ashram, that problem is resolved. No, but it's not true. Because even married people, look, a winner, congressman winner in New York, he just out of prison. Congressman in America, that's not a joke. That's an exalted, high-profile position. He went to jail. What? Because of lust. There's so many people who have gone to jail in America.
Even one of the ex-chief justices in New York, he went to jail because of lust. The former director of International Monetary Fund, Strauss-Kahn, he went to jail. So, this lust impels us to act in anti-social behavioral patterns. Sometimes against even the constitution of the country. And keep in mind that even in criminology, the very general theory of crime stipulates that all crimes and antisocial behavior are due to low self-control. And low sex control is subsumed in self-control. And we see what this situation has caused so many distractions, even those on the spiritual path. So it's a social issue, but it causes also spiritual derailment. We find in the Vedic literature, so many instances are there. We find someone who is doing meditation for tens of thousands of years in a bed of the sea. Subhari Muni, a typical example. And he saw some two fishes mating, and he got agitated, and he abandoned his meditation. Isn't this a general problem? We think it's just exclusive to Pururava? No. And therefore, sacrifices help us to be able to attain our desires, according to Prabhupada in this very text. And so, Pururava, even when he was performing some sacrifice, some jagya, his object of meditation became, who was he? If we are really, in fact, sex attraction is an addiction. When you're addicted to something, or you're addicted to drug, it's so difficult to leave it. You know this drug is destroying your life, but it's so difficult to give it up. If you're taking some, sophisticated drugs, it gives you some immediate pleasure, but it just destroys your internal organs. Because attachment has been created. And keep in mind, Lord Krishna mentions in the Gita, he gives the stages of how one gets to that phase of lust. He mentions about contemplation. What is our object of contemplation? Now, instead of thinking about material objects for sense gratification, we could revive that modus operandi to focusing on Krishna, contemplating on Krishna, and we'll become attached to Krishna. And then we'll eventually develop love for Krishna instead of becoming attached or contemplating on some material object, and then we'll become attached to that material object, and then we desire to enjoy it. And it's lost. So the whole situation could also be used in a positive way. We don't necessarily have to look at this from a negative way. In fact, without lust, this world will be at zero functionality. I repeat, without lust, the whole of the material arena will be at zero functionality. The world functions. People are moving around, working so hard to build skyscrapers because of the impulse of lust. We want to be distinctive. We want to accomplish things more than what everyone else has done before. But whatever we accomplish, someone in history had accomplished it before. So, the whole idea is that sacrifices are meant to please Lord Vishnu. What type of sacrifice we have to perform in Kali Yuga? What type of sacrifice? Harinam Sankirtan. Okay, but even this Harinam Sankirtan, we take it so cheaply, so simply, it looks like. But what if, if it's Harinam Sankirtan, I'm a kitten here. I'm involved in singing every day. Do I need japa? I don't think I need japa, isn't it? Do I need japa? Why? Because I'm doing kirtan every day. So we also have a group of people in our movement who have this bizarre conception. Because I'm a musician, I don't need to chant japa. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not a musician. He compiled lyrics. We read, we sing the songs of artists, Vaishnava artists, who have compiled wonderful poems. We just repeat those mantras, and we say, we have become so advanced, we cannot chant japa. But Lord Krishna again mentions in the Gita, Jagyanam, japa jagyosmi. Of sacrifices, I am japa. So what's the argument about that? Prabhupada was a big poem, a poet. He compiled a poem even aboard Jaladutta when he was going to New York to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. So we can have so many good excuses not to do the proper thing. And then when we get to trouble, we point accusing fingers to everyone else as the cause of the problem. So Prabhupada has given us all that is required to be able to purify our existence so as not to become entangled in a material world while we are living in the material world. And that is as simple as the sacrifice that is prescribed for the age of Kali. We are lucky, although in one sense we are not so lucky, because the age is it's a degrading age. Our life is very short. We can't really focus. If we stay more than 1 hour, in fact, if we stay more than 45 minutes, we see some people, they'll be fidgeting about like a decimal point. Yeah, we can't really focus, and we can't sit down in a place for long. And so, we're given this simple process to chant Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But we sometimes deny the fact that this is a prescribed sacrifice for denizens of the Kali Yuga. And we want to do more sophisticated things. See, I preach in the university, I preach to professors. If you go to my website, bhaktivasudevaswami.com, you see the type of stuff I do. I integrate applied Vedic science and applied management and decision sciences in providing solutions to leadership, management, and social issues. Just last year, I have 4 publications in international peer-reviewed journals on corporate corruption. We may ask, is that related to Krishna consciousness? Yes. You read my works, you see how I applied the Vedic teachings, Prabhupada's teachings, in addressing leadership, management, and social issues. So Prabhupada has given us all that is required to transform this world, to change the world, except that a number of us don't have the appropriate skills and technology to do that. But some people should be encouraged. Some people should be encouraged to do the dirty job. How is it a dirty job? Because you have to mingle with all of these people who have bizarre mentality about existence. Some of them are overtly demoniac. But you have to deal with them to change them. In fact, what would you tell a management scientist or a political scientist about Krishna? He tells you, I don't believe in God. What will you say? So those are the situations we deal with. And when you speak in their language, they say, oh, this is amazing. Stupid people. So, my humble request is that we should think of ways to reach out to people, because there are so many people who are part of the Krishna family, who are like prodigal children. They are out there. They don't know their left and right. And we are here, you know, taking prasadam very nicely, coming to the Mangarati, jumping in the kirtans, and purifying our existence. What about our brothers and sisters who really won't care about God, about Krishna? So some of our children should be encouraged to acquire those type of skills that will be required to trap some of these people, to bring them back to the Krishna family. Because everyone out there is, you know, part and parcel of Krishna. This is not me saying, Krishna said, Mama Evam so Jiva Loki, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. Everyone is parts and parcels. Means what? We are the global society, just one family. And so when people come to understand that very principle of spiritual values being the fulcrum of civilization, build the fulcrum of development and progress, then they could have a second thought about figuring out why their material problems are not being addressed with material solutions. And so here is a typical case where a number of people, like I mentioned earlier, they've been victims of circumstance as far as loss is concerned. In the U.S., where I stay alone, I mean, I know of so many cases. In fact, in 2017, I published a work on political sex scandals. And then again, I brought in the Christian consciousness principle to address the whole situation. So we have problems that are going on, are brewing, and are already been, the cause of a lot of people's devastation, people being kicked out from their jobs, destroyed. That loss has destroyed so many people's families. And so, Krishna has given us a chance to be able to revamp our own lives and to help to recreate the future in redirecting a misdirected civilization. So let's take this very process seriously, because there's nothing as practically viable. There's no spiritual path that is practically viable as this devotional service. And so when we take to it, and it's a simple thing. I've seen 8-year-old child and a 6-year-old, their siblings. I was in New Jersey for a program. And these two kids, they came to greet me. I was speaking with their parents. And then they came to greet me. So I just challenged them and said, "Hey, so your parents are devotees. How many rounds are you chanting?" They said 16. I said, "What's your age?" The girl, the older one, she said 8 years. And then asked the younger sibling, I said, "What's your age?" He said 6 years. And then they said 16 rounds. So I thought, American kids. So I turned to the parents again. I was discussing with the parents. You know, I didn't believe them. Initially, I didn't believe them because they're too small. So I turned to the parents again. We are discussing. So before the one devotee came to pick me up, and then before I was going to jump into the car, I turned to these kids again and asked them, "Yes, how many rounds do you chant?" And then the mom interjected. He said, "Maharaj, 16 rounds." That is in America, in New Jersey. If you're here in Mayapur, compared to America, that's a big difference. Here, the environment is very conducive by dint of the field theory. This is a place where, all the happenings are there, and they expedite our purification. They expedite our concentration in our devotional service. But then someone in New Jersey, 6 years old, 8 years old, they're chanting 16 rounds. Think about it. If you are the one who thinks that your child cannot chant 16 rounds, it better. And if you're doubting, I'll give you the telephone of the mom, the father, you call them, find out. Because I went to Pennsylvania, and then we had a program. And then what there was the host, he had a kid, I think 12 years old or so. But he was so sharp, super intelligent. In fact, at the age of 6 or so, he already had memorized all of the verses of the Gita. The father is a pandit, so he was inculcating in him the teachings of Srila Prabhupada right from a tender age. So when I told this story, this boy, he doubted. And then he was very tactful. He said, "Maharaj, can I scalp with that, your friend?" I said, "Yes." So he said, could he Skype with that boy, the 6-year-old? It's like a challenge to him. He's an older folk, and the 6-year-old is trying to sit around. So he wanted to be sure. He said, could he Skype with the guy? So I said, yes, I can call the dad right now, and then you speak with him and arrange with his son when you can Skype. So I did that. And he was baffled. So the bottom line is that the chanting we may think is so difficult, but let's look at it from the other angle. It is possible. In fact, 16 rounds is just the minimum. But as parents, when we are doing this jaga, we have to be careful that our children are watching us. Can I tell you another story? I was at Rotaryatra in New York recently. So I had a family, and they had a son, 10 years old at that time. Now he's a big wrestler. So this boy, I wanted to go to use the restroom, so I was going to the site. And then he ran to me and said, Maharaj, can I join you to go to the site? I said, of course, you're free. So he came, he joined me, we were going. And then he said, Maharaj, can I ask you a question? I said, of course, you're my friend. Ask anything. He said, can someone be chanting japa and watching TV at the same time? I said, no, that's offensive, japa. You guess what the boy said. What his report was. Can someone guess what he said? He said, my parents do this all the time. I said, shut up there. You don't chant. I've been asking you to chant. You refuse to chant. Now you're finding fault with your parents. I said, when you're chanting, then I will listen to your fault finding with your parents. You chant first. But just to minimize his attitude of criticizing his parents. So if you are the type that has a child, you just be careful because the child is watching what you're doing. He may say, oh, she doesn't do this, he doesn't do this, but they're watching you. So we have a commitment to ethical leadership. Ethical leadership, Krishna defines in the Gita, whatever a great man does, the common man follows. And it becomes a standard for the whole world to pursue. We have to be exemplary to our children. Because when we are doing one thing, as far as the jaga for this age is concerned, they are watchful. They may be hearing and not really interact so much with other people to be able to share what they have been hearing or what they have been reading. But especially for the family members, parents especially, they have to be careful how we behave when we are enacting or when we are doing anything relating to devotional service. Even not only devotional service, in our social relationships in the family, because this is a social chapter, so I'm not digressing. If we are dealing with even social issues in the family, the children are watching us. A 4 years old saw the parents like in some type of conflict. So he comes to ask the father that, you harassing my mom? Four years old. This is in England. Okay. The parents told me. He said, you harassing my mom? And he wants to meet the mother that. So is that the way you talk to dad? So we have to be careful how we behave, even in the families. Because the essence, Lord Krishna mentions that he is sex life that is not devoid of religious principles. So if we are following the tradition, what Prabhupada has given to us, we are bound to invoke powerful children in our families who will even facilitate our sacrifice of japa. I know a case of somebody, a white lady, she gave birth, so she completely abandoned japa for months. The child was creeping. I want to give a lecture in one university. She came there and she was telling me the story in the US. She came there and she was mentioning how she had abandoned japa for a long time. after childbirth. When the child started creeping, she couldn't even remember where the japa bag was. When the child started creeping, the child went to one corner, put his hand into some place there, and brought her something. It's her japa, a japa bead, some bag. And then the child crept again to the mother, you know, gripped her legs, and then got up and gave the chanting bag.
Hare Krishna.
Are there some comments or some inputs or some criticisms or some challenges on this point? You can ask anything. Yes, please.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the class, Maharaj.
Welcome.
Very wonderful class. I just perhaps would like to give a word of caution to any of our very enthusiastic young mothers thinking, I'm going to get my child to chant 16 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
to not force. Otherwise, they will have a reversal.
Yes.
But, you know, set example by chanting very nicely yourself, encouraging a child, but never to force them or make them feel bad. Or, that child's chanting 16 rounds, why can't you chant your japa? I just wanted to say that.
All right, thank you.
Being a mother of three sons.
Sure. It's a good idea, because, you know, some of our kids, the parents really perform high-profile austerities. I remember when Prabhupada was preaching in New York in the early days, and during the first initiation, so he was telling devotees about the whole process of initiation. But someone raised an issue about how many rounds they would chant, and then Prabhupada said 64 rounds. So they argue that they can do that. So Prabhupada brought it down to 32. And then again there was some agitation. And then Prabhupada brought it down to 16. He said 16 is just the minimum. You take it or you leave it. So the bottom line is that if a parent is not chanting, you will not even have the guts to encourage your child to chant, because it will be hypocritical. And at the same time, if you don't properly, or if you properly inculcate your child with higher values, in fact, the whole process of having those type of children is, it begins with the, you know, with the Gavadam Samskar. Because again, someone raised an issue at 26 Second Avenue before Prabhupada about, you know, in terms of marriage, how many rounds they should chant before they have sex. And Prabhupada said like 50 rounds or so. And then somebody, I think Brahmananda also, he said, better to just leave it, give it up. My point is, Grihastha ashram is actually the most difficult ashram. I repeat, take me and quote me anywhere. Grihastha ashram is the most difficult ashram. Sometimes we don't seem to recognize that. And when we got a slight agitation, then we say, I want to marry. Someone was doing a mechanical engineering degree, and then it's my friend. And then he was speaking one day and he said, Maharaj, I think I need to get married. I said, good for you. I said, you know the meaning of marriage? Marriage means householder. You're holding a house like this. I said, do you have a house? He said, no. I said, how much money you have in the bank? He said, no, nothing. So, you see, for my friends, I'm really like raw. You know? So I said, you know what? You don't need a wife. You need sex. But because you want sex, I said. I said, because if the constitution of our Vedic system is such that boyfriend and girlfriend is not allowed, and you are saying you want to marry, but look at now, it's just not practical because you don't have a house. You are going to college from the temple. You say you want to marry, you don't have a house. You want to be a householder. I mean, it's just ironical. He kept quiet. We're talking on the phone. He kept quiet and said, later he said, marriage, you are right. He was very sincere. So yes, we don't have to force our children. For young people, a marriage should be something should be based on strategic planning. You don't see some young, beautiful person or young, beautiful lady or man, and then you say you want to marry. There are certain considerations you have to put into account. Okay, if I have a child with this person, what happens if it dies tomorrow? Do I have the skills to get a job to sustain the family? That happened to my sister. She married one professor. She had a first degree. She married one professor. And then the professor left his job to get another high-paying job with government as a commissioner of some ministry or whatever. So later I was speaking to her and I asked about her husband. Sometime after, we didn't speak for a long time. It's like either 1 year or so. So I encountered her again and we were speaking on the phone. I said, what of your husband? He said, oh, that man died. I said, what? Why didn't you tell me? He said, but we never had a chance to speak. So they had all of the assets, money, fixed assets, moving assets. But you know what? The demoralization, the trauma that brings, it could cause people to commit suicide. And I know people, I remember when I was still in Africa, in Nigeria, there were a troop of young military officers who were on a flight, and then there was a catastrophe. Most of them died on that crash. Some of those, the wives to those military officers, I know of two cases of women who committed suicide. They couldn't take it. Because in some cases, they don't have skills. They don't have the emotional courage to move on with their lives. So if you get married, also you have to think, yeah, Krishna is there. Krishna will take care. But Krishna will not be the charioteer and the archer for us. What will we do if Krishna had to be the charioteer and the archer? Why did Krishna give us big brains? For what? To just depend on him and wait for him to cook the halva and throw it down from the Krishna loka to us? So, there should be some proper strategic planning when we want to embark on all these social engagements, because we're going to bring forth children so that we don't dehumanize the children because of social lack of social facilities. Yes, any other points? Otherwise, we have to start because the time is 9 o'clock. Or 50 seconds past 9. Unfortunately, in India, you go to places, not here. You go to places, ask them about what time we're going to stop the class. I've encountered this in most temples. They tell you, Mara, you're not in America, just give the class. Well, we have to be conscious about time. So we have to do other things. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.